We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the historic Midland city of Nottingham. Known worldwide as the Gateway to Grantham. Nottingham was originally called Snottingham, as it was founded by an Anglo-Saxon chief known as Snot. Further north, the town of Scunthorpe got its name in a similar fashion, as it was originally founded by a Viking chief known as Mr. Thorpe. In 1180, Nottinghamshire was the first place in England to experience an earthquake. Obviously, there was no Richter scale back then, but the locals instinctively knew that something seismic had occurred when they noticed the nearby settlement of Mansfield looking a lot nicer. The annual Nottingham Goose Fair is one of the UK's largest travelling fun fairs and attracts over 500,000 visitors a year. It's called a Goose Fair due to the large number of geese once sold there and the high likelihood of getting your arse pinched. Nottingham's oldest pub, Ye Olde Trip to Jerusalem, opened in 1189. It gets its name from being the place where knights of the realm would assemble before heading off to the Crusades. And we all thought the custom of getting shit-faced before travelling abroad was invented at Gatwick. In a recent survey, Notts County's theme song, Notts County for Me, was voted the worst pop song of all time. Well, out of interest, I ordered the single from the BBC record library. It had been played so rarely that the hole in the middle had started to heal over. Nottingham was the first UK city to install Braille signs in its shopping centres. This scheme was hailed as a major victory for Nottingham's blind community, as it meant for the first time in their lives they could avoid accidentally walking into JD Sports. Nottingham's lunar estate in Bulwell is Britain's only housing estate named after the famous Apollo astronauts. The roads include Aldrin Close, Armstrong Road, and the other one, oh, what's his name, Crescent.
What?
Oh, it's Bulwell. Thank you. Yes, we know. Like it matters. I wouldn't go there anyway. The sundial in Portland Square, Sutton in Ashfield, is the largest in Europe. It's a favourite landmark with the town's locals, many of whom remember the last time it could actually be used. August 1976. But, talking of things that haven't shone for years, let's meet the teams. Here we are. On my left, Fred McCauley and Vicky Pepperdine. And on my right, John Culshaw and Milton Jones. And taking his place on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome our resident tree trunk in trunks, the immaculate Sven. So we start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar terms. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference between the words anarchic and seditious. Well, anarchic means an absence of respect for official or accepted rules, whereas seditious are what a German puts in the sink at the end of a meal. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Vicky, you can start.
Just ate. I recently had lunch.
John.
Turtle. The sum of everything in Hull.
Milton.
Backgammon. Not so close, Brexiteer.
And Fred.
Expert. Bit saggy now.
Normalise when you don't need glasses.
Polarise when you do need glasses.
Colonisation, turning something into an arse.
Fossilise, too late for glasses.
Concrete, Yorkshire Nose Job Clinic. Because you're concrete.
Vocalise, you've got glasses, but they can talk as well.
Golden syrup, blonde wig.
Chiropractor, or as they call them in Egypt, practor.
Pistachio, facial hair that smells of urine.
Academic, clever Irishman.
Automatic, loft space in late October.
Kuala Lumpur, a cross between a bear and an Oompa Loompa.
OK, well, the teams are going to sing along to some well-known songs now in the round called Pick Up Song. These days, rare vinyl commands a fortune at auction. Local collectors will tell you that a mint-condition copy of Starting Over, the debut single of local star Sue Pollard, can fetch as much as £5 at auction. A scratched, unplayable copy will be worth even more. So, well, Sven will spin the discs. Each of you can sing along to your records teams until Sven turns the music down. If on its return you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean a frankly nauseating display of asinine self-humiliation. What do points mean? Yes, and this week's prize is just a thing to liven up a listless sea mammal. It's this Nespresso dolphin pod. Vicky Pepperdine, you're going to start, please, and I'd like you to accompany Gloria Gaynor singing I Will Survive.
First I was afraid, I was petrified, just thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. But now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go! Walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore.
Ah, Vicky Pepperdine. Good to see you getting your confidence back. Only last week, Vicky was booed off stage by her own karaoke machine.
It's all true.
OK, Fred McCauley, I'd like you to accompany Julio Iglesias singing Begin the Begin.
When they begin...
the begin... ...quiero sentir... las cosas de siempre. Quiero saber si tú aún me quieres. Quiero volver a empezar. When they begin... quiero saber.
Quiero saber.
I close my eyes there. It's like being in Glasgow, 2 o'clock in the morning.
gracias.
Trying to get home. Okay.
Muchas gracias, Jack.
And finally, a duet now from Milton Jones and John Coleshaw. Can you please accompany Rick Rock and Shaggy singing... singing It Wasn't Me.
Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
How can you give your woman access to your pillow? Just as a woman while you're clinging to your pillow. You better watch your back before she turns into a killer. This is the situation that you're caught up in her. To be a true player, got to learn how to play. I'll stay a night, convince her stay a day. Never admit to a word when she say. And if she claiming, yeah, I'll tell you, baby, no way.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
Thank you, Milton. Thank you, John. Well, the teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. Yes. This game is all about miming the theatrical technique of suggesting action, character or emotions without words. The father of mime was, of course, Marcel Marceau. During the Second World War, Marceau was a member of the French Resistance, and it was during this time that Marceau earned the reputation as the worst lookout in the history of modern warfare. In our version of the game, team members are permitted to speak. So, Milton and John, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Life on Mars. Life on Mars.
OK, so when you're ready, please, off you go.
It's a song and a TV show.
Three words. Oh, my God, look at my chocolate bar. There's ants on it. Yeah, they're crawling all over it.
Are they burrowing into the caramel filling?
Yes, and the nougat centre.
We'll try and spin it out as long as we can. Is it something to do with a chocolate bar of some sort?
And another planet. Could it be a...
Vicky.
A life on Mars.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Okay. I should have reminded the audience, if you think that the guessing team is getting warm, you can applaud to encourage them and make it go quicker. So it's your turn now, Vicky and Fred. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And once more, here's a mystery voice for listeners at home.
The lady vanishes. The lady vanishes.
When you're ready, Vicky and Fred.
Film, three words.
Hello. I've come for a copy of England's longest-running weekly magazine for women.
Of course, madam. And you're in luck. There's just one copy over. Oh.
What is it?
I could swear it was here.
Really?
Absolutely. Right there. It was definitely there.
And now it's gone?
Completely.
Oh. Well, look, don't worry. I'll take this copy of Homes and Gardens.
Fair enough.
Something about something disappearing. The disappearing, vanishing, no, the vanishing Homes and Garden magazine. The vanishing woman, the vanishing lady.
Yes. Got it. Well done, that was it.
That's it? Not exactly it.
Well, then. it's close enough to let us move on. The lady vanishes.
Well done.
Yes. Well, the next game is called What's the Question? A question and answer quiz in reverse. I'll provide you with the answer, and it's your job to tell me what the original question was. So, for example, if the answer is there's one born every minute, it's very likely the original question was exactly how many children does Boris Johnson have? So, all right, so, John Culshaw, we'll start with you. So here's the answer. What's the question? The answer is tuts.
What's a good nightclub in Egypt?
You're not a million miles away, but it's actually which Egyptian king's mummy was the only mummy discovered with an erection? Yeah. And that's why they're in pyramids. Vicky, what about this one? Here's the answer. Poaching deer.
What do you need a massive saucepan for?
I think it's fair enough, actually. In actual fact, it was for what crime was a US prisoner forced to watch the film Bambi every month for his year-long sentence? And it was poaching deer. Milton, here's the answer. What's the question? Sexual activity increases.
What's a bad side effect for a laxative?
It's, in actual fact, the question was, what in 1996 did a Nottingham professor discover was the result of feeding porridge to snails? Yeah. And finally, Fred, the answer is cash up front.
How does Prince Charles like his charity donations?
It was actually, how did Aretha Franklin insist on being paid for a performance? All right, here are some for any of you to have a go at. This is the answer I need the question. The answer is cubic turds.
What was a rejected name for a Mike Oldfield album?
It's actually what a wombat's famous for excreting. Yeah. Here's another one. Here's the answer. What's the question? Lying flat on your back with your arms and legs spread.
What's the fastest form of speed dating?
It's actually, Vicky, it was what's the best way to survive if trapped inside a falling elevator? So, now we know. And finally, here's the answer. What's the question? It's the last one. The Queen was trapped in it.
How do we know if the Queen trap worked?
Well, in a sense, you write, it was why did a swarm of 20,000 bees follow a silver Mitsubishi 4x4 around in Wales for 2 days in 2016? Because the Queen was trapped in it. The next game is a musical one. This summer saw Paul McCartney headlining Glastonbury at the age of 80, skillfully adapting his set of classic Beatles songs to reflect his great age. Examples included the ballad of Scone and Coco. Got to get you into my will. And let it pee. Or while my catheter gently leaks. Well, in this round, panellists from each team will take it in turn to sing the opening line to a series of well-known songs, and it's the job of their teammate to answer each opening line in a manner likely to end the song altogether. And piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin tells us he recently started an exciting new job. Last week, he was given the position of the conductor of the BBC Symphony Orchestra. And within 10 minutes, he says he was outside the man's house in his Uber minicab. Okay, can we have your medley of first lines now, please?
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Hello, NHS Direct.
It's now or never.
It's never.
Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round. Turn around.
This is the worst sat-nav ever.
Turn
You put the boom boom into my heart.
Well, we call it a pacemaker.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando?
Nope.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with string. These are a few of my favourite things.
Yeah, I'm afraid they've all been replaced by substitutions. That's all we've got.
I will be king. And you will be queen.
I don't know, Viscount Linley. It seems like a lot of people to murder. Ra, ra, ah, ha, ha, Roma, Roma, ma, ga, ga, oh, la, la.
Stop! You will summon Sutek from his ancient prison on Mars.
What's it all about, Alfie?
Well, it's about this bloke played by Michael Caine, but we can watch something else if you want.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I think you might be in the wrong job, Vicar. I've been alone with you inside my mind, and in my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times.
Look, Nadine, it's just not a good moment right now, OK?
Half of us in need. Oh, when will there be a harvest for the world?
Knows.
Honey, honey, how you thrill me. Uh-huh, honey, honey. Honey, honey, nearly kill me. Uh-huh, honey, honey.
Step away from the beehive.
Well, it is very nearly the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. So there is just time to fit in a quick round called Theatre or Bedroom. The world of theatre is one of superstition and ritual. As we all know, many actors refer only to the Scottish play, believing any mention of Macbeth is likely to mean a disastrous performance will ensue. And similarly, many superstitious theatre managers ban any mention of An Evening with Fred Macaulay for exactly the same reason. In this round, teams, I'd like you to come up with examples of phrases likely to be overheard both in the theatre and the bedroom. So you can start, please, Milton.
Get off.
John.
Once more unto the breach, dear friends.
Fred.
I sneaked in the exit during the interval.
Vicky.
What a pity Benedict Cumberbatch had to pull out.
Oh, look over there. There are your parents waving.
We're doing it 6 days a week and twice on Saturdays.
Magnificent curtains.
I hear the Duke of York's is going to be out of action for a long time.
I wish I'd brought a cushion.
No, they're too small. I'm going to need the opera glasses.
I can't hear you at the back.
Do you know, I did this for GCSE.
Isn't it amazing that Gielgud and Olivier were both in here over 60 years ago?
Is this a dagger I see before me?
He's up for a Tony, apparently.
Look, I told you, will you wait till I come off before you go on?
We only had 10 in last night.
Do you know, I once saw her with 7 dwarfs in Middlesbrough. Last time I tried this, I lost my footing and fell into the pit.
While there's a pause, shall we get an ice cream?
How long is this thing?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the two-person tent of time is abandoned at the fetid festival of fate due to its proximity to the pestilent portaloos of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. Aww. So from the teams, Sven and myself and our audience here in Nottingham, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
John Coulshaw, Vicky Pepperdine, Fred McCauley and Milton Jones have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sowles setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steen and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.